You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. The 2017 Equinox clearance is on right now. $8,000 off MSRP on all units. The 2018s are also here, so check it out at lakewoodchev.com.
Analyst for the New York Rangers, Dave Maloney, joins us. Dave, welcome to the show. It's been quite the Homer series. The Rangers, a very convincing, controlling victory in game three against the Senators. What specific did you see different in maybe how they eliminated Erik Karlsson from being as effective in the first two games as he was in game three?
Oh, boy, I'm not sure. Well, the way to eliminate him is to play with the puck. If you have the puck more than Ottawa does, you're going to eliminate Karlsson, right? I mean, the Rangers played about a thorough 20 minutes the opening period of game three, as I think they played in some time, and Ottawa never had the puck. So when you take the puck away from Erik Karlsson, you're going to be a better team, and he's not going to be as big a factor. So, but he's a tremendous player, and you're game four, and he'll be, you know, he'll cause people to pay attention once again, and the Rangers have to do, hopefully they take the little things out of game three and bring it here for win, get this thing back on an even keel.
Dave, you know, when I watched that first period, I got the feeling the Rangers are going to come out and hit every single thing. Was that their game plan? Do you think they'd carry that in, if they did, into this next game?
You know what, Jason? Actually, the Rangers came out of a very physical series with Montreal, and it certainly was an aspect of this group that had not been one of the higher priorities when they come to play. But that being said, this series hasn't been nearly as physical, but I don't think you can discount Tanner Glass in the lineup for game three. And it's amazing how one guy will make just a bit of a difference. And it's not that they're going out of the way to be physical, but it's finishing checks when a check's there to be finished and playing a good, honest brand of hockey. And Brandon Smith in the back end has been a nice addition from a physical standpoint also. So it really hasn't been an overly physical series. But with Glass in the lineup, the Rangers do have a little different look.
The Rangers' defense is one that at times has been taking a lot of criticism. But in the playoffs this season, they've been pretty steady. Tell me about the youngster Sky, and I apologize if I say his name wrong, because the more I watch him, the more I'm intrigued by his ability. Just he skates and moves the puck. Were you expecting this type of production all over the ice from him this season?
Well, it's Brady Shea, and that's how you pronounce the last name. So Brady Shea might have been the Rangers' best defenseman in the five-and-out series against Pittsburgh last year in the opening round. So there was lots to think that, he was going to be a pretty good player. And as the season evolved, he's evolved to be a pretty good player. He's still young at 23. He was a Ranger first overall pick in the 2012 draft. He played 3 years at the University of Minnesota. And the thing that he was, always had the tools to be an offensive player, but his best year at the University of Minnesota was just 14 points. And when he got here, Jeff Bukaboom and Kenny Drenander down in Hartford forced him, encouraged him to play to his strength, which were his skating and his ability to move the puck. And so he was on every power play, every penalty kill, and when he started as a pro. And I just think it's a compliment. Sometimes the guys get to the pro level and they want to make a guy something that he really isn't. Why not allow him to play to his strengths and a rookie year under the belt? But for the great rookie class, he would be in the mention for a rookie of the year. He finished second in points to Werenski in Columbus, and he's been a really good player all season long and has taken another step here in the postseason.
Who's the guy that's got to keep pushing the pace for the Rangers? Is it the little dynamo, Matt Zuccarello?
Well, he doesn't have to push it. He's not forced to push it or have it. He pushes it every game. He is a wonderful, you get the luxury of watching your team game in, game out, and sometimes you take a guy for granted, and you certainly don't take this guy for granted because he's pretty special. But you know what, Jason, I've been asked that question before, and this group, not too much unlike the team that went to the finals in 2014, is really going to be the sum of its parts. And if they can elevate if everybody elevates their game a stride or two, they're going to be a different team. They had 10 different guys get a point in game three. The game before, Vigneault had shortened his bench. So I do think there are world-class players, there's no question. The goalie is the legitimate world-class player. Ryan McDonough is a world-class player, but he's not Carlson. You've got Rick Nash, the world-class player, but he's not Ovechkin. So the point is, I'm not sure beyond Lundqvist there's one guy that can drive the process. But cumulatively, they've got a lot of good players. And if they all take us, you know, a little half a step or a step up the ladder, they're going to be a tough out for anybody.
You watch the other teams in the conference a lot. Of course, if the Rangers win this series, they're taking on either Pittsburgh or Washington. And, Dave, give me your thoughts on the Pittsburgh Penguins. And even without Crosby, no Chris Letang, here they are again, up 3-1 over the Washington Capitals. How are they doing it in your eyes, and what's most impressive about the Penguins so far?
Well, if we had a firsthand look. Actually, it went back to a year ago March. The Rangers played the Penguins three times down the stretch. And I remember at a certain point last year, you kind of look at their roster and you go, who is Sheary? Who is Kunuckel? Who is Russ? Who are these guys? The point is, if we all agree that speed and skill is where the game is going, they have a top-to-bottom speed and skill roster. And I honestly thought that Washington was going to be vulnerable to speed and skill, but I didn't think they'd get exposed by Toronto, let alone Pittsburgh. To me, Pittsburgh's the best team in the league. They have, from top to bottom, they have guys. So when you get back into that back line of the big line in Washington, let's say, very good, nice, straight-line players, but I'm telling you, you watch Pittsburgh dart around. So when you're playing them, you're either chasing them or they're chasing you, and they do it, and they're driven by top-end skill. To me, they're the best team in the league. Now, listen, Edmonton's on their way, right? With the guy, you know, the big guy up front, they're on their way for a guy setting the table for speed and skill. But to me, Pittsburgh, you go down the roster, they all play the same, they all got speed, and they all got skill.
Getting back to the New York Rangers, looking back in the Henrik Lundqvist, you know, bit of an up and down season, but is he now getting to the form that, you know, would be expected from a guy of his resume?
Oh yeah, I mean, there's never going to be a question about Henrik, right? I mean, and the thing is, when he turned 35, I had never thought of him. I said, "That's how old he is," you know. I just age, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you watch him and you go, God, I can't believe he's 35. But that being said, he's been along. He did not have the regular season. But I don't think there's any stronger competitor than Henrik Lundqvist. He's the most honest, self-deprecating superstar there is. And he competes. And I know, Jason, you had the opportunity to play with him and you watch him practice. He has not changed his practice routine from a compete level from the day he got here to yesterday's skate. So there's no question that he's been their most important player. The gratifying thing coming out of game three was Henrik did not have to be spectacular. The Rangers had a very convincing win. He was not forced to be the king, and that's a good thing moving forward.
Dave Maloney, analyst for the New York Rangers and MSG, joins us. Game four goes tonight at 5:30 Edmonton time. Rangers trailing that series 2-1. A player who I'm sure is probably a little bit more emotionally invested because he's a former Ottawa Senator, Mika Zibanejad, leading the Rangers in playoff points with 7. He's also a plus 5. He's got 25 shots. Matt Zuccarello, of course, has 4 goals. Just talk about Zibanejad and his evolution this season with the Rangers.
Well, he's coming off the best game he's had as a Ranger. And I think when you watch him, when you watch his skill sets, he's a tall guy. He uses his length really well. He's very strong on the stick. You know what? I'd be pretty hard-pressed to think of a Swedish player who isn't a responsible player in all three zones. So there's an awful lot to Zibanejad that still, I think, is ahead of him. And that comes to just leveling the compete level. If he can kind of level, you know, bring up that compete level on a day-in, day-out basis, the Rangers have a pretty good one in him. He had a good camp, had a good start, and then had a horrific leg break. He missed 24 games. And jumping back into the high-speed lane midway through the season is not difficult. It took him some time. But obviously the conversation coming into the series was Broussard, Zibanejad. They were traded for one another. And Mika so far has gotten stronger as the series has gone along. And I'm not sure that's been the case for Derek Broussard.
Dave, great stuff. We appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for calling, guys.